Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number on a very busy Friday, as we expected it to be. The Jets and Giants both make moves in the top 10. Not as much movement that we thought there would be. Joe Douglas kind of does it again as far as getting more draft capital. Joe Shane tells you what he really feels about the quarterback situation with the Giants. And then the Knicks last night in Philadelphia, I don't even know where to begin with that whole story. What the hell was that? So much to get to. I don't even know where to begin, to be honest with you. I'm leaning football. I have a feeling the callers are going to lean Knicks. Bart, I'll let you go from here. Did the Giants do the right thing at six?
I thought we were going to go Knicks, man. This is what the city is more passionate about.
Are you sure?
I think this is what they're impassioned about, because this is our closest chance to be able to get a chip. Yeah, I know we have the Rangers going there up 2-0. We appreciate that. But we know basketball runs this town. And the Knicks find themselves in a dilemma. And I told you yesterday that I thought that winning game three would be the hardest game to win, because when a team's back is against the wall, they're at their home crowd, things that don't go right on the road goes right for role players at home. You had a superstar that stepped up.
Whoa. Joel Embiid should have never finished that game. There's nothing more to say. There's no role players. There's none of that. The guy was completely out of control in the first 5 minutes of that game. If you didn't want to give him a flagrant two on what was obviously a flagrant two, flagrant one there, and then kick a guy in the nuts, that's a flagrant one as well. He should have never played the game.
I get the Draymond of it, but he doesn't have a history of that type of stuff, so you know they're going to give him a pass.
Oh, are you sure about that? You want to look up his history?
Man, they was not about to throw Joel Embiid, former MVP in Philadelphia, out of the game.
Okay,
I understand that it should have been a favorite,
right,
too. He should have been out there, but we understand that. Stop it. The NBA is still a business, right? And that ain't good for business.
All right,
that ain't good for the referees.
Now you're making a point.
After the referees had just got criticized for not calling fouls on Maxey and not providing timeouts, we knew it. So, like, listen, I don't know as a Knick fan if we can even complain about that. The issue is
– this is not about being a fan. This is about – anybody that ever played basketball knows the most dirtiest, dangerous thing anybody can do is when you're in the air, somebody grabs your legs.
Yes.
You can do it. There's a lot of things you can do.
Yes,
but you can never, when
that.
I'm in the air, grab my legs. I can't land. And a guy that had surgery on his ankle, do that to him. That is the dirtiest play in the sport.
I agree with
So this
all
is not about
that.
Being a fan. Bruh. This is about somebody who played basketball understands that's a dirty play.
We all understand that. And I heard Jay Will. I understand the unwritten rules or the written rules of basketball, right? When guys are in the air, you don't do certain things.
Ever.
You don't push them, especially
you
when you're
never
on the ground.
That.
Yes. But let's talk about the particular incident, because all incidents are different. It's not like he was going up for a dunk. Mitchell Robinson was like less than a foot off the ground.
What does that mean? Was he in the air?
I'll bring it to a point. I'll dot the I. He wasn't. And also, we know in this league, and especially with this situation of this game and everything around it and the climate, we knew that they were going to. They would referee the result. Now, if Mitchell Robinson would have fell down, laid on the ground, flopped like a fish, they might have threw Joel ass out, right? Because that would have had something to do with it. But the fact that Mitchell Robinson seemed like he was fine, what he was trying to do with grabbing his legs and moving left to right, he could have fell on his hip, got a hip pointer, fell, hit his head, put his hand out there to catch himself. You know what I'm saying? Joel is a big, strong man, but I think they refereed and legislated the result. And the result was Mitchell Robinson seemed like he was fine, so that's why they didn't do it. I understand everything about what you're saying.
He wasn't fine.
It was no way.
He didn't finish the game. He left at halftime. He was limping from the moment, from that moment forward, he was limping the rest of the way.
Alan, don't you think if he'd have went down and stayed down today, maybe they would have thrown his ass out or gave him the flagrant two?
That I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
But the fact that he was walking around and seemed like it was fine. Listen, I'm more upset. Listen, we knew what type of game it was going to be. When they saw what it was on, I know Joel's a big man. But listen, this is what I say, right? And I tell you all the time, right? And Rex said it when he got here. If you take one of mine, I'm taking two of yours. So the thing is, all the professionalism that you have and all the things that you believe and how to play the right way, like the benefit of the doubt, now the Sixers don't get the benefit of the doubt. So particularly, because I don't care about Kyle Lowry, I don't care about Oubre, now particularly if your star is in a vulnerable position, somebody that's important to you and the success of your team is in a vulnerable position, guess what? He not getting that courtesy. He going to get the same energy that Joel gave our star, one of our most important people. And Joel, if you ever come close to that court and you think about dunking, you up there in a vulnerable position, we taking you down. And what happens, happens. And that's how it's got to be. See, you know, everybody was playing
cute. Here's the problem with that.
I understand
that. You know what happens all the time in sports.
I don't care.
It's always about the retaliation. That's the one that gets the bigger penalty. So you can't do anything. I thought the Knicks handled it.
It's not a blatant. It don't have to
be blatant. The Knicks handled it the right way. They were on the road. Josh Hart said we knew it was coming. We knew what this was going to be about. And they handled their business by just staying in the game and not getting rattled. And they had a chance to win the game until an absolutely ridiculous barrage of three-pointers went down in the third quarter. You can't get rattled and you can't react and you can't retaliate. That's the problem.
Bro, it's a difference between retaliating and playing a different way.
Well, they don't play like that. All the Nick Biggs, I've been saying this the whole series, they're being way too nice to him.
That's what we've been saying. But now that he and Swipe one of our bigs, now what you going to do about it?
They did nothing about it. Look at the rest of the game. They did nothing about it.
Alan, I'm saying this is after the fact. We're sitting in a meeting. We watching the crap that he getting away with.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is we picking him up full court and we putting a body on him full court. He not jogging up the court, laissez-faire, just chilling, cruising at his own speed. We getting up in him and it's a body touching him the entire time. That's what I'm saying.
What he does?
He getting no space. I don't care. He gets flopped.
No, he flops.
That's
and
fine.
He falls. And
he don't
stumbles,
have the ball.
He
Alan,
trips into
Alan,
you.
Alan, he don't got the ball. That's
it doesn't
fine.
Matter. It doesn't got, matter. He draws attention by doing this stuff. Did you not watch when he was running into Isaiah Hartenstein and kicks him right square in the nads, and then he pretends like he's the one that got hit?
Listen, Alan.
And no call.
Alan. If Mitchell Robinson can get treatment and he can come back, right? I got how
got
many fouls you say
get right.
How many fouls you say I got? We leaning up on him, man. We leaning up on him. If it goes seven, he won't make it physically. It's gonna be that type of thing. I'm running him into screens. I'm doing whatever I can do to make sure he feels us. That's what you have to do because he made it like that. And they've been too nice. And they shouldn't have been too nice anyway. We got the nicest bigs in the world.
Yep. They play
nice.
Hard, but they're nice guys.
Yeah, nice guys. Nice guys.
I agree.
They ain't got
deferential to him in this series with a bad knee.
Okay.
It's driving me crazy.
Tell me this. What would have happened if they would have did that to Isaiah Stewart?
Well, he would have thrown punches, which is the worst
thing. I ain't talking about that, but he would have ratcheted it up.
But it's not – again, you can't – in a playoff game, the retaliation is what costs you.
Alan, the Knicks
were right to not retaliate.
You're right.
They had a lead at the half. They were down eight with 5 minutes to go in a building that got tight. They had a chance to win this game.
It's not retaliation. It's a style of play. It's an emphasis.
I don't know how you do it in this sport.
What do you mean? Patrick Beverly does it. Marcus Smart does it. What do you mean?
And what happens when they do it? They get thrown out and their team pays the price.
Draymond does it and his team pays the price.
You can't retaliate.
I'm not talking about retaliation. I'm talking about attention to detail.
Okay.
I'm talking about
– All right, give me specifics.
I'm saying it's three of us. We bumping him from the jump. A body's attached to him. You know how the dude Alvarado be all up on Chris Paul?
I think Josh can do it more than Biggs can, especially him. He'll go to the line another 20 times. You know he had more free throw attempts than the Knicks did as a team?
I do, Alan. Somebody got to knock him on his ass. When we underneath the boards, we leaning on that knee.
Well, I agree with
when
that.
When we looking up for that board and I'm on that knee side, knee hitting his knee from the side.
Caleb Martin on Jason Tatum type box out. It's got to happen.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
They don't do it, though. Drives me crazy.
Then keep getting punked. because you went to Philly, a team, a place that's known for their toughness, and they punked you.
You think they got punked? Man. I don't think they got punked. I just think he was out of control, and the Knicks were just like looking at the officials, like what are we doing here? Did you see later in the game?
The Knicks looking at the officials.
On a full court press. What he hip checks OG Anunoby right now. The officials looking right at the play did nothing.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
How many times y'all hip check?
No, listen. This is what I'm saying. No, you're right. You're right. That stuff was only going one way. And that's the frustrating part of this, because when you are when you talk about the NBA, now people who love the game, they love the game. The people that are kind of like the shallow fans, what do they always say about the NBA? The biggest thing that people say about the NBA is that it's scripted, that certain teams are given benefits, that the way it goes, it's like they don't trust the league to officiate cleanly, right? There's no agenda. Yeah. And game three felt like clear agenda. And I don't you don't want that. Yes, we all know game two ended with controversy. Completely get it. This
They're
is
human.
Different, though.
Human.
It almost hurt a player.
Almost, right?
I think he did, because he walked out of the building with a boot on his surgically repaired left ankle. So seriously, it's one thing if you want to call ticky-tacks, if you want to just kind of send a message. I get that. But this guy, he was kicking people. He was kicking people. He was running them over. He grabbed a guy who was in the air and pulled him down. Yeah. Are you serious? And there's not one official that's like, yo, this dude's out of control. He's completely rattled. We got to get him out of the game.
Alan.
No one thought that at all. We all thought, it's not so bad.
Alan, when your kids were young, when Zach was young, and he told you this guy was on the playground, he pushed me, he did this, he did that. At what point are you going to ask
him what you
do?
This is a basketball game. This is not the playground. There are rules here. You don't punch somebody in the face in an NBA game these days. You can't do it.
If this was hockey, what would happen? Somebody got checked.
It'd be a fight.
Not the fight. Not the fight. It'd have been some hard checking against the board. It would have been some natural regulation going on.
I agree with you on that.
And that's what I'm saying. The Knicks did no regulation.
Right.
Like everybody, I would have pulled my team into the circle and said, okay, we ain't going to complain because they ain't us. But this is how this game is being played.
The only guy that got in his face was Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah,
amazing?
And what was that? And that's my damn point, Alan.
I'm with you. No.
That's my point.
I agree with you on that.
We play hard. We scrappy, but we got a bully out here, and ain't nobody willing to step.
And Mitchell Robinson,
come on, Mitchell Robinson should have. He's in Embiid size.
I don't know why
he didn't need nobody to step to him.
It was odd that when he got up.
He just
walked away. Somebody grabs my leg when I'm in the air. Are you kidding me? I just had surgery and I'm hurt all the time.
He putting your career on the line.
Absolutely.
And that's all you got? But that's his mentality. I ain't built like that, Alan. And I know a lot of basketball players that ain't built like that. And that's the problem, because
nobody
it's
had
different.
Words with him.
DiVincenzo had more of an issue with what he did to you than what you did.
Yeah. No,
why
true.
Am I standing up for you and you ain't standing up for your damn self?
And then at the end, he's mocking you, big
you enough?
Star player. Like
you
he's
big
doing
enough?
All that stuff. Like
you big enough? You big enough? Man, they would have had to hold me back. It would have took the whole coaching staff and referee staff. Joel Embiid would have said, woo, okay. I don't know if I can do that
basketball.
To him.
Because
he had no respect for the person that he grabbed. Because he knew it was no retribution. And like I know, it's certain guys in the league that you don't do certain stuff to. Because you know you might have to deal with him.
Well, there's that too. You're right.
And Mitchell Robinson coming off like the Care Bear cousin, you got to step to somebody yourself. You your side, and y'all play each other directly. He didn't grab some random person when he was laying down. They were trying to get a rebound after he flopped after OG hitting with the nice little nice shoulder, flopping like a fish. That's why you down there, because you flopping like a fish.
He did flop.
That's what I'm saying.
The reason why he was on the ground was because he flopped. He's trying to draw a foul.
And listen, it's good for Mitchell Robinson that he saw him falling like a tree and moved out the way before he roll up on his knees.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and then after point. I move out the way where you're coming towards my knees, I jump and you grab my feet and I just get up like I'm a Care Bear cousin. Come on, man. They looking at film like y'all soft. Like, let's get physical with them. Let's play hard with them. Remember, it wasn't that what it was all about, offensive rebounds, getting down there, getting dirty. Yeah. Going for boards. So what one team has thought about, okay, let's get physical with them. But and they looking at Charles. They looking at Hardenstein, nice guy.
Now, like you went through this, right? So with the Jets, you guys, and obviously the Ravens too, you guys had a physical, tough, hardworking defense, right?
Yes.
But it wasn't, I mean, maybe sometimes you guys were borderline dirty, but it wasn't like, that's the one thing you noticed too.
Make
the
you Knicks, feel you. Hold the Knicks play ass defense. Up. That's not dirty.
And they play hard, and they dive on the floor, and they get after it, but they don't play dirty. That's not what they do.
They ain't got no Marcus
but
Smart
in them. But the Sixers
them.
Were like, oh, no they're Brad more Beverly physical. They're this and that. We have to match physicality. So instead of like playing harder, they just got dirty. That's not what it is. That's not how you pull. Like, that's what I mean. When I watched the first couple of minutes and I tweet, I said, Embiid's out of control. Like, he's rattled. And that's a problem. And it just doesn't make sense. Now, let me just get to something that Josh Hart said after the game, because I think this kind of sums it up. The Knicks kind of were like, yeah, we knew this was coming, which is why I think they handled it the way they did.
We knew what game three was going to be. All right, come on now. We knew. That's how game two ended. We knew what it was going to be. So am I surprised? Not at all. At the end of the day, now we just got to move on.
See, I mean, I think their mentality was right. I think as far as don't get caught up in this stuff, know there's going to be some get back because – of what happened at the end of the game and how much Nick Nurse whined about it and how much the Sixers, they filed a grievance about the officiating. They made a big deal about it, draw all this attention to the officiating so that going into this game, you knew the first 5 minutes, let's see what happens. And I bet you they probably said take all the liberties you want in the first 5 minutes because you know the refs aren't going to blow whistles. They're not going to do it. And so that's what they did. And the Knicks didn't flinch. They just kept playing. But it's a problem to me that in the end, the guy has a 50-point game. He has an unreal third quarter. The whole team did. And that was able to put them over the top. It took – like, I also want to make this clear to everybody. For everybody that's going like, oh, my God, it's a series now. Oh, my God. Listen to me for a second. It took the Sixers to have a record-setting quarter. And for Embiid to have a career playoff high just to beat the Knicks. Think about that. It's not like they just went through the motions of, oh, that's what they've always looked like. They had one quarter where they went absolutely detonated. They went nuclear from three. 9 for 12. Nobody does that. They did. He hit 4 of 4 from downtown. Like, it just happened. And then there was a point with 4 minutes to go. It was still an 8-point game. And everybody in that building will tell you, I talked to some people that were there, and they're like, you could feel it. The tension in the building under 5, when the Knicks cut it to single digits, everybody was worried like, oh my God, we're going to blow it again. So trust me, this is not I don't think this is a momentum-changing game at all. I think the Knicks are fine. I just don't like what I saw from a basketball perspective, and I don't like the fact that the conversation becomes about what all the league does this is what happens, and this is what to expect. And you heard Josh Hart say it. Oh, we knew. We knew what was going on. Like, but we knew. Like, we had no chance in this game. The league wasn't going to let us win this game because of how game two was won.
Man, you got to turn
the
water.
And I hate that.
You got to turn the water off, man.
You're right.
And that's the thing, because you can say, oh, this isn't a momentum shift, but you still haven't found a way to stop Joel Embiid. And guess what? He seems to be getting stronger and healthier.
I don't know about stronger.
Well, he's getting
once again in the fourth quarter. Did he grab a rebound? He had zero rebounds in the fourth quarter.
Who cares? He get them to the finish line, and his teammates get him across
the foul line. Is what he got to.
My point. It don't matter. What I'm saying is, rather he getting them out to the start that they need, and his teammates carry him across the finish line. You got to cut the water off. He's averaging 37 points a game.
Like I said, last night to me, that was the frustrating part, was that you saw a game that they really still were in.
Okay.
And in the end, you just say to yourself, shit, like that 50-point game, by the way, for Embiid, that's put an asterisk on that. Because the majority of people that know basketball will tell you he should have never stayed in the game.
Man,
and if it was Draymond Green, if it was someone else, he should have never been in the game.
If was a fifth. We all know that he wasn't getting thrown. We all knew he wasn't getting thrown out of that game.
That's right.
So stop it. So quit complaining about it.
It's not, Bart, it's an observation. It's not a complaint.
I get it. I'm just saying.
You can't complain about something that's already over. It's done. I'm saying, though, the reality is that he should have never finished the game.
It was egregious, but it wasn't egregious to the point. It would have been different.
Oh, you're crazy. Guy's in the air. You don't grab a guy's legs when he's in the air. You don't do it.
I understand. I'm telling you from somebody that's watching that even though it was crazy, it didn't look. You know how some things can look worse than it was? Because Mitchell Robinson came down after the fact he came game. To
it. If somebody ever did that to you, Bart, you would want to fight them.
Yes.
Because you know that's dirty.
Yes.
And if it's dirty, it doesn't belong in the game and neither does the player.
If that was a big man doing that to a little man, it would have been different. It's just human nature. Sometimes we referee the result.
I guarantee – I know a lot of Knicks fans were fired up last night, all throughout the night and this morning as well. Let's talk to them. 800-919-3776. I really did think that the draft was going to be a bigger story today, but it seems like this is the bigger story right now.
We're trying to win.
No, I understand. Ernie in Bridgeport will start us off. Go ahead, Ernie.
You said Ernie Andre.
Andre, yo, man, hey, our call screen sometimes.
I'm sorry, Andre. Before you start, you know how many fans I ran into yesterday that was telling me that they got cut off because they didn't know they were talking to them because they said they wrote down the wrong name. I was like,
man.
I was like, I can't.
We play a guessing game. I swear to God, that's what we do. The call screen, we just guess. Go ahead, Andre. Go.
All right, man. I love listening to you guys, and so I really call. But I just had to call today because, Bart, I can't believe you took that stance that it was okay for him to get his leg grabbed like that.
You're putting words in my mouth. You're putting words in my mouth. I didn't say that. We knew with the situation and we knew with what happened with the game before that they weren't going to throw him out. We knew that.
Should he have been thrown out?
If this was a regular season game, they'd have threw his ass out. They'd have sent him to the back.
What?
I'm not saying that it was right and he shouldn't have been thrown out. I said we knew that the NBA was going to throw Joel Embiid, last year's MVP, after that people feel like Philadelphia got done wrong, even Stephen A. and everybody saying, hey, I understand that they lost one, that they was going to give them a pass. They had to get out of jail free card, and they punched it early in the game. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that wasn't that. I'm saying they should have got some get back. They got to start leaning on them. They understand that this is how they want to do it. They're going to try and punk us.
Now
we about to lean on you. Now we about to lean on your knee. We're going to do all the little things. It's a lot of little things that you can do. When you're on that knee and y'all boxing out, hit that MCL from the side a little bit with your knee. Put that elbow on that hip. Yeah. Put that pressure on that knee. When he jump, push him. Or put that back in there.
I'm with you.
When he come down, don't give him no space to land. Oh, I'm sorry. My foot is on there. You went up for a rebound. Apologies.
Now, remember, Bart, from the start of the series, wasn't I saying that?
Yeah, we've been saying that. They gave him a pass.
Yeah, you got to go with that leg. You got to wear him down. Artie
that's why
Long
we got
Island.
That's why we got injury reports in NFL.
Artie.
Hello?
What's up, Artie?
Yeah, how y'all doing? Hi, everybody. You good? Everybody good?
Kuda Matata.
I hope y'all good. Yeah, all right. I'm glad because I'm not good, all right? I'm going to talk to you. Last night, first off, I'm going to say this. I'm going to compare it to baseball, right? You up 2-0 in the series, right? And somebody hit you in game one, but you still win the first two games, though. So by game three, what you going to do? Now you up two games. You're going to chuck at whoever threw that, you know what I'm saying? You might catch they batter back, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How I feel about it is, we got to test the knees out. You see what I'm saying? Because what I saw was my center not finish the game because who knows what? Did it what was a sweep under his leg? Did it contribute to it? I don't know. I saw my center couldn't finish the game. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what's going on now is they wanted to see that 90s basketball. They want to bring the 90s basketball back, that defense. Right? They want to test it out, right? They want to let it come back for the playoffs. I think they used the Knicks. And if we would have got Miami or Philadelphia, we was the test dummies for all of that. Because we're going to test it out now. I feel like we don't got no choice. Because what I saw was us get pumped last night.
Yes.
Isaiah Hartenstein had no mouth.
Yes.
Josh Hart ain't had no mouth. All that mouth they had in the garden, they had no mouth yesterday. Then we got slapped upside the head, scratched on the neck.
Preach.
We kicked in the nuts. We got beat up yesterday.
Preach.
We got pumped.
Preach.
That's
preach.
What happened.
And that's when you go over there and if he can't if Mitchell can play, you go over there, you say, Sims, you got one job. Lean on his ass, poke, talk to him. If he punch you,
that's the problem.
Well,
Jericho's not that guy.
Listen, you assume roles that the team needs.
and he just has his surgery on his knee, and you sweeping feet like you don't care? Listen,
right.
I went on Philly blog the other day when they lost that game, too. I was reading the blogs. They was going crazy. I'm talking about guys was breaking their TVs. Remember, I told you I broke my TV after that Houston Knicks game. So when I'm watching them go crazy, I didn't think nothing was going to get me that mad again. Like, nothing. But this got me pissed off right now. Because what the NBA is trying to do, they're trying to have Knicks fans go crazy out here. Because what I saw yesterday was not acceptable. If they don't come out in game four and kick all kind of, like I don't care who gets thrown out, I don't care. Because at this point, what's going on is they testing us. And B punked us the other day, last night. He punked us.
Yeah. And I don't care if Sims is that guy. Let me tell you something. You think Bill Laimbeer was that guy until he had to become that guy? He wasn't that guy before Rick Mahorn got there. Somebody got to assume the role. We all assume roles when we go on the team. And right now, we need this young dude. We need one of these young dudes to come in there and lean on this guy, agitate him. I don't care. We're not going to give you major minutes. We want you, when you get out there, we want you to run him. We want you to lean on him. We want you to push on him. We want you to crack the tip at that knee. Agitate him. And if he swing on you, push on you because he think he greater than you, how dare you step to him? Because I'm Joel Embiid, the MVP, arguably one of the greatest big man ever. Then take that L. But you're going to feel us, dog.
These are moments that we've remembered in the past. You remember, obviously, you know, Charlie Ward and P.J.
Yes.
Washington. That turned into suspensions that cost the Knicks a playoff series.
Man, this is Jericho Sims, man. This is Sims. I don't care about Sims. It's Sims.
Yeah. Well,
I ain't telling nobody else to do that. I'm telling Sims, somebody that's going to have direct contact because you're going to be checking them. Lean up on them and see what happens.
They got two days again between games, which gives Embiid more rest, which the schedule is only benefiting him right now, but also 2 days to stew about this, watch film and think about it, because if you win Sunday, it's 3-1 coming home, and that's all that matters.
Exactly. Put him in the
blender. So the pool report on this whole thing from last night, Zach Zarba, who I told you about, is the crew chief. Remember, he's from New York, right? I told you that whole thing, mm-hmm. how Philly people are all upset. And I said, no, don't worry about it because, you know, Zach Zarba, he doesn't do the hometown thing. None of them do. But he was asked why it was a flagrant one instead of a flagrant two on that play. His response was this from the pool reporter. In that situation, the crew gets together. We go and review the foul. In this instance, the crew was unanimous, along with the replay center official in Secaucus, that this foul was unnecessary, but did not rise to the level of flagrant two. The unnecessary contact rose to the level of flagrant one, but we were unanimous that this did not rise to the level of excessive contact, unnecessary and excessive, which would have been a flagrant two ejection. That's why we kept it a flagrant one. Think about it again. Unnecessary and excessive. They didn't feel that grabbing someone's legs while he's in the air and then pulling him down, then shoving him was not considered unnecessary or excessive. That doesn't make sense by definition.
Yeah, I bet you if Mitchell Robinson would have laid down there and rolled over and grabbed his ankle.
Oh, just land on him. Just land on him then next time. Fall right on him. 800-919-3776.
I'd have fell right on his knee.
We will continue with the vent session with all of you next. Stay with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer from the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Last night, Joel Embiid went for 50 and went to the foul line more times than Knicks did as a team. So what did Tom Thibodeau think about the way his superstar Jalen Brunson was officiated?
Going in, we're scoring plenty. We're scoring a ton of points. At a high level, at an efficient level. He had the team playing well. Like, he didn't shoot well, but he had the team playing well. And then he ended up, with 12 free throws, right? And a lot of those came at the end. And so I'll look at it again. I'll send my clips in like I do every game. And then they'll say marginal contact. And then, then we'll have marginal contact on Embiid, and he'll be at the line 21 times. So that's the way it works.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew. Honey, during tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart and Han, Alan Hall, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. The number will be part of the conversation here. So Nick Nurse was asked about the Embiid play.
A flagrant at the beginning. I mean, we were a little worried that it could have been like a flagrant too, and like, where did it ever cross your mind at all? That
I didn't even look at it. Sorry. I didn't see it.
Right, he didn't look at it. He's not looking at his star that who fell on the ground.
My man was watching the inbounds play game two, like,
You didn't see your star.
I mean, I didn't see anything.
You didn't see your star fall. underneath the basket and like, oh my God, Whoops White falls on him. Like,
plausible deniability. I didn't see it. It's great. Jay Will saw it. He was on Get Up this morning. He had this to say.
That's not being physical, though. There's one thing about being physical and cracking into somebody when they're not looking for a rebound, right? Or giving somebody an elbow or a push off. To me, it's just a flat out dirty play. I mean, that's a play that deserves to be ejected. I mean, the thing that Mitchell Robinson is mid-air here, where he yanks that, like, he's about to jump. Like, that could have torn an ACL. That could have torn, you know, some kind of ligament. That's a very dirty play. And I thought he deserved to be ejected for that. That should have been a flagrant, too.
If you don't think that that was a dirty play or that shouldn't have led to an ejection, then you don't know what you're looking at. I understand Bart's point of view, which is it's the playoffs. He's an MVP. They're not going to do it. That's fine. You can have that take because you're right. That's the NBA's reputation. That's the reputation that they have. They have owned that for years. It's always the makeup call, right? I should have a podcast and call it the makeup call. And literally just it, like, you could go through the history of the sport and you just know there's always going to be the makeup call. And this was essentially those first 5 minutes of that game. The whole quarter, really. That was essentially the makeup call for the last 30 seconds of game two. That's all that was. Like, we all know that's coming. So, like I said, if you are watching that play and you just like, nah, there was nothing wrong with that. Yeah, flagrant one, that's about it. And you don't think there was, you know, excessive and unnecessary contact, and you don't think that that was one of, if not the most dirtiest play that you could do on a basketball court. Like, that's a fight everywhere else. If you don't think it's that, then you don't know what the hell you're talking about. I have no time for that. Right? Talk about that on the podcast that nobody listens to. But I understand what Bart's saying. I understood what you meant, Bart, earlier on when you said they're not going to give him a flagrant two because of who he is.
Yeah.
And it's a playoff game, and it's in Philadelphia, and what happened at the end of game two. Yeah. I can't argue with you on that. That's reality.
That's like Tom Brady doing something. It's like, come on. Like, anybody else do that?
It's like, we should, but we can't, right? Yeah, like, that's probably what they were discussing.
It's like, man, we want to be able to ref for the finals. We do that. they sending our ass home.
It's something, but it still doesn't make it any better. It doesn't make it any better. Continuing with your call, Stephen Wayne. What's
$10.
Up, Steve?
That's serious.
Steve.
$10.
Steve! Steve's in a, are you in a business deal? Are you in a business deal?
I'm sorry, man. I'm here.
Okay.
Should buy some of that that P. Diddy pink, you know what?
You guys got me?
We got you, man.
Sorry. Okay, listen, I agree with Bart 1,000%. Listen, I know Embiid's a Hall of Famer. He's an MVP. I get all that. But we're giving this guy way too much respect. We got Jericho Sims on a bench. He's got 6 fouls. You send that guy in there and you use all 6 fouls. You rough him up. That's what we need to do. We're playing soft, man. I don't like it. If he's going to come out swinging, then we need to start swinging. And it's really that simple. And I'm not saying be intentional, but be smart. That's all I'm saying. If he's going to go and do what he did, then we have every right to return the favor. That's all. But we're playing too soft against these guys, man. We got to go out hard. And that's how I feel about it.
I feel like I said, Steve, I've been saying it from game one that I think they've been a little too easy on him physically around the basket. And, like, again, it's the playoffs. You don't apologize. I know he's got a bad knee, or at least he's recovering from a knee, and I know he's got his conditioning is terrible. So I'm sorry, I'm using it against you. It's the playoffs. Ain't show friends, it's show business. Like, I'm going right for it, and you're going to have to live with the consequences. But that's the reality of it, and instead, they really haven't. So, and, you know, that's the most maddening thing, is that this is something that has been brewing for a couple of games now.
But
now if they do it in game four, guess what's going to look like? Oh, retaliation. Flagrant two, you're out.
You watch. I'm just saying, all my big men, like, we picking him up full court. We going to wear his ass out because he going to have to run around us, trip over us. We going to be attached to him. We're not going to push him. We're not going to hook him. We're not going to do nothing. We just going to put a body on him and make him have to deal with us. Pick him up full court like Alvarado does to Chris Paul, and he don't have the ball, so he's going to be trying to run so he can run down like a little sloth, come up late, get into the top of the key, get the ball. Nah, because we're going to already be there. We're not running down until you run down, and we're going to make you run around us in front of us. We're going to run in front of you and slow down, all that stuff. Make your feet kick our feet, all that stuff.
Yeah. Hey, let's continue. Dave East Meadow. Go ahead, Dave, your turn.
Hey, guys, how are you?
All right.
I mean – I was so upset last night, I couldn't even watch the post game. I turned you guys on for 10 minutes, and it was just rehashing bad memories.
Hey, don't hurt your family.
That actually hurts my feeling. You could leave the TV on and just not watch it.
I love you. But it was – listen, everything I want to say was pretty much starting to be covered now. I was going to exactly say that. You bring Jericho Sims in, you just give him 3-4 minutes, and you tell him, don't start. But the minute Embiid tries to post you up and gives you a little elbow – then you get to say, you give him a good hard one, a hard foul. You got to set the tone.
I just don't know if he's that guy. That's the only problem.
Well, bro, you want to be on his team?
I get it, Dave.
You want to be on his team? Go be that guy.
If it was John Wallace, right? If you're telling me John Wallace is Jericho Sims, right? Then I'm like, yeah, because John Wallace is about that life, right? He would do that. But I just, like, this is Jericho Sims is a big, strong guy, and he's a great athlete, but he's a nice guy. Like, I don't think he's like that. I don't think Isaiah Hartenstein's like that. I thought Mitchell Robinson was like that, but it doesn't seem like he is either. Precious Achiuwa, he might be like that. I mean, he is from the Bronx. You know, like he might be like that a little bit. But I'm going to need, like, I don't know if you can just call a guy off the bench and ask him to be an enforcer if that's not who he is. It's simple, you know, again, as simple as that. Rich in Brooklyn, Rich. Rich in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah. I think I got the remedy to all of this. I'm not too familiar with how the NBA does business nowadays, but if they got them 10-day contracts, let's go call up Charles Oakley and get him on the line, because until he's about 75, he's going to put some pain on anybody. It's crazy how they can allow that to happen. And no repercussion, like that right there is unacceptable. It cannot be unanswered. I don't care what the repercussions are thereafter, but it can't be unanswered, because you're not only talking about the infraction. We're talking about, this is the same guy who committed that infraction, but then put up 50 points, like in your face, like totally took you out of the game.
Right.
You know, thereafter. So that's a problem. It's two problems happening at once.
Well, yeah, the problem is that he got away with something and then was rewarded for it. Right, Rich? I think that's what you're trying to say. And that's the bigger issue. And as I said to everybody, as I'm watching the game, I just kept saying, okay, They built a 13-point lead going into the fourth quarter off of an epic, epic third quarter. Like, they had to play out of their minds to take that lead going into the fourth. And I said, if they get this to single digits, that building's going to get tight. That team's going to get tight. And you could steal this, and boy, wouldn't that be the best answer to it, right? And they were there. 8-point lead, had the ball twice, couldn't make a shot, could have cut it to six, maybe even five. Then what? With 5 minutes to go? Like, there was a chance there that they could have still stolen that game. So it wasn't as if they were just blown out of the gym. Like, we know, like, Cleveland went into Orlando last night. Orlando was down 0-2. Orlando's a young team. Cleveland went into Orlando, and they got their doors blown off them. I mean, they were losing by 30 before the first timeout. Then no chance in that game, right? Run out of the gym. This wasn't like that. Philly gave everything they had, gave you their best punch, had a historic quarter, and it was still a single-digit game with 5 minutes to go. There was still a chance. So, again, I'm using that when it comes to whatever conversations happen over the next 2 days going into game four, is that if that's the best they can play, then this series could be over in five. That's it. Don't get rattled. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't start getting out of your game. And we haven't even talked about the fact, Bart, that Jalen Brunson had
39
points and 13 assists. Like, yeah. Like the guy that wasn't getting it going for two games suddenly got it going. So, you know, like, think about it this way. I know we all want the comeuppance. And I'm telling you, you know when you do, when you know when you deliver that blow to Embiid, you know when you hit him with the forearm or knock him, whatever it is, you know when you do it with in the fourth quarter of the game, you know you're about to clinch, and you let him know. Send him into his offseason. That's when you do it. Because you don't want your need to get your pound of flesh to impede your ability to win the series. Because you know what happens to those who retaliate. They get the worst punishment. Always happens. Ask any hockey fan. Any hockey fan, they'll tell you. That's why Brad Marchand, what he does in Boston, drives people crazy. But what makes it worse is that you get the worst penalty because you're so mad at him, you're trying to get back.
No, see, I this ways.
I get what
now.
You're saying,
I'm
but
not
you
saying,
can't
I'm
do it in the four. You can't do it in Game Four in Philly. You can't do it.
Bro, what I'm talking about, being leaning up on him.
Oh,
I'm
I know,
about
I agree with that.
Him up foot. I'm talking
but
about
we have people
him.
Calling
I'm
in saying that they need to. You need to go.
I ain't
out, you need
I ain't
to hit
about
him
sweep the lane. I ain't talking about Don Chaney. I'm no, talking about let's wear his ass out. Let's make a concerted effort. And if he's ever in that compromising position. He's going up for a dunk, or remember when he went up for the dunk and came down and hurt his knee? I don't think he's going to get up in the air like that. But you make sure it's no easy layups. And if we got to go contest the ball, get ball, but get body,
if you're going
to try
foul
and knock
him
over, you go do it. That's what I'm saying,
right? If you
that's
if you know you're about to foul him, you better foul him hard.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And that's it. If you know you're going to get, like, he's going up and you know, all right, he's probably going to draw a foul.
We contesting everything. Yeah, we contesting everything.
Yeah, I agree
hard.
With that part. Hard fouls, not these touch fouls that give him the M1. I completely agree. All right, we'll continue with the calls. We will get to the draft stuff. We should. I mean, there were some interesting things that happened on draft day, but this Knicks thing I know everybody wants to talk about, so we will continue to do that. The NBA playoffs, FanDuel is giving customers two chances to bring home a big win with a no-sweat same-game parlay every weekend of the playoffs. Just place an SGP on any playoff matchup, and you'll get bonus bets back if you don't win. Bet on everything from rebounds to assists to three-pointers and more. Visit FanDuel.com/Allen and shoot your shot on America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 older, physically present in New York, minimum 3-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable. Bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, let's get back to the calls and the conversations on this. It's amazing too, throughout the show. Texts I'm getting. A ton of texts on this stuff as well. This is a story that everybody's talking about. I mean, everybody. Jay Will on Get Up said he should have been thrown out. Kendrick Perkins last night went to Twitter, said he should have been thrown out. There aren't many people who are saying that, no, that was fine. They did no one. And I know, and Bart did push back, but all you're saying, just to repeat it, is it's the playoffs, he's an MVP, they were in Philadelphia, there was no chance he was getting thrown out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. We can always talk about what should happen. You know what happens? Like, it's like when every year, like, they put out the rules of what's going to be emphasized. And when I was in the league, right, and it's like, oh, well, now you can't do this. Or now you can't – this is the target. You got to hit the quarterback with. You can complain and talk crap about it, man, but it just is what it is. Like, we know the circumstances around why that call wasn't made. Should it be called made? Yes. If that was LeBron James, that call wouldn't have been made. Like, if LeBron James would have did that late in the game against anybody from Denver, he might have got a flagrant one, but he wasn't going to get it either. Like, and what happened in game two? We knew it was no way in hell that the ref was going to make a move like that would probably change the outcome of who won the game. You know they weren't going to do that. So you can complain about it all you want. But we've been having these same complaints about – I mean, come on. Bill Laimbeer got punched in the face by Robert Parrish and his nose started bleeding. It was a common foul.
Yeah,
like,
come on. Different world.
Yeah, I understand that. But we knew that Bill Laimbeer had it coming for years. So they weren't going to throw him out. They weren't going to throw Robert Parrish out. I'm just saying, it's been stuff like that that's happened over the years, and we know that certain people get preferential treatment and certain situations dictate how they call the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
so
why are we acting like that?
And
we also know that when like, it's almost like, you know when there is that fight and then you go, okay, we're done now, we're settled, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's almost like now the league is probably looking and saying, are we done now? Can we just move on? Are we settled?
No,
the Knicks have to play that way.
No, the Tibbs are like, no, we won't get back. Y'all know he should have been thrown out. Y'all watched it. The new crew, call it better in our favor. I need my guys going to the basket. I need my guys on the line. It goes back and forth, man.
Here's Tibbs. Here's how Tom Thibodeau handled it after the game when he was asked about the flagrant on Embiid.
Which one? The one they called or the one they didn't call? Okay. Oh, okay. All right, I just want to make sure we have clarity on that.
Exactly.
Which one? I love that. Because he's saying there was one that wasn't
kicking the nuts. With the kicking the nuts?
Right, he kicked our guy right in the nuts and nothing. The guy felt get crumpled. Now, at least they stopped the play. They did stop the play. Then they watched. They just gave him a technical. A technical. Every man listening right now knows it's flagrant when you kick some other man in that area.
And Draymond Green, like, what?
You're right, exactly.
The hell
Draymond got suspended for a damn finals game.
He's like, yo, what? Oh, you hell know, no.
It does lead to a good question that Tony in Mount Vernon wants to ask. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, how you doing? That's what I wanted to ask about. Draymond Green, if he would have did that, would they reviewed it or instant flagrant too?
Man, they would have threw Draymond a green ass on so damn fast.
Gone. Right.
They
would have taken his jersey off.
You want to know why they would have said, well, because we think Steph could still win.
No. It's also because he's got the reputation that precedes him, and that's what they have said, that he has that reputation. Yeah. They have said this before about Draymond, and Embiid allegedly doesn't have that reputation.
Or does he?
Well, look up his
history
with flagrant fouls. Like, all you have to do?
Yeah, but also remember.
Yo! Hold on, bro. Who in your Alexa, man? She sounds fine as hell.
You like that voice, right?
Turn right.
Oh, kind of the same thing.
Like, did you customize that with AI, son?
Yeah, who was that?
No, I didn't. That came with the car.
Man, what kind of car you got? They got, yeah. they got
you
know, a video.
Like, remember
they got
Rocky Five when he had the
yeah,
the robot.
Yeah, they got a Vixen. Hi, Paulie. Yo, you just doing a customizing stuff to a video Vixen.
Hey, Tony.
You're almost to your destination,
Tony. When you feel like it, make a left.
Six
right.
more, six more inches like. To the left. You've arrived at your destination.
You crazy boy.
I'm like, yo, so yeah. they know Alexa.
No, there's more to that. That's not that. That's
that's Lakeisha.
I was gonna say Aisha. You went Lakeisha. Okay, either way, it's somebody.
Damn.
No, Tony does.
Let me rent your car,
you say something, does she say? Does she call you daddy? Like when she responds?
Yeah. Let me rent that ride, dog. I need somebody to talk to me like that.
Destination on your right.
Yeah.
Oh man,
I want to reference when the Heat and the Knicks were playing, and they got into that skirmish, and when they suspended people. When, you know, some of them got suspended for one game and others got suspended for the other game, that wasn't fair neither.
Yeah, you're right.
Listen, I just looked it up, so, Tony. Tony, listen to this. I looked this up. This is from actually last year, so you have to update it now. But career games played as of last season was Draymond at 905, Embiid 441. Flagrant fouls, Draymond 19, Embiid 21. So when we talk about reputations for flagrants, you know what I mean? Like that's yeah. part of the conversation. It has to be. Like the reputation part of it. But one guy is an aggressor and the other guy, as we know, is a passive aggressor.
Yeah.
That's it. Embiid's always been like that. He's been the hangdog face and he always looks exhausted and everything looks overwhelming and all that stuff. But, you know, this guy, I thought, was out of control in the first 5 minutes of that game. Doing things that were just simply to create contact and to cause something.
Right. He pulled
and then
all
it
that
was,
stuff.
Still wasn't going his way. Remember, the Knicks were up 10-6. The Knicks had leads early on, and it wasn't going his way. He was flopping around, couldn't get calls, and so that's when he grabbed Mitchell Robinson's legs, and he had it at that point. And that's when it's like, if you're a referee, you honestly are going, this guy's out of control. Like, he's not even playing basketball right now. And he's got to get out. We got to get him out of here. But they wouldn't do it.
Do it back.
And you're right. They wouldn't do it because of the situation. It was on the road in a playoff series that he was trailing, and he's the MVP. You can't do it. And that is what everybody believes is what the NBA is all about. More your calls coming up. Stay with us. Barton Hunt, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So after all the talk about maybe trading up or a wide receiver or Brock Bowers, the Jets pull a swerve on everybody, trade down one spot, and pick up an offensive lineman. So Joe Douglas, what was the thought behind trading down?
The depth at pass catcher and tackle is really unique. Obviously, the best players in this draft are playing those positions. So you saw three receivers go really high, two tackles went high, and so we wanted to make sure that we could capitalize on the best remaining player.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.